We are going to turn our attention to a practice that is commonly referred to as margining, margin accounts. And we've discussed it a couple of times and just said, hey, you know, we're not ready for that, we're not ready for it, wait till the end of the semester. Well, it's the end of the semester, we're ready for it. So let's start on slide number 9 with a cash account. Now, when you first open up an account, most likely you're going to open up a cash account. And a cash account is a brokerage account in which all transactions are made on a strictly cash basis. They're the simplest arrangements, requiring no credit check of the customer by the brokerage firm. So in other words, you're not borrowing anything from the broker, so the broker doesn't care about your credit rating. You're going to send them money, it's going to be in your account, and that's how you buy and sell your securities. Once you have established a good relationship, most brokerage firms will allow you to purchase shares of stock, even if you do not have enough cash in the account. Well, why? This is because stock transactions settle in 3 days. You have 3 business days to get the money into your account. You see? So, you don't actually own the stock the day you buy it. You have to wait 3 business days. And they don't actually take the money out of your account and for the day you buy the stock. So you have 3 days to get it there. And if they know you and they like you, they'll let you do it. But some of the deep discount internet brokers just don't allow it. If you don't have the cash in your account, you can't buy the shares that you're not going to own for 3 days. And conversely, as we've discussed, when you sell a stock, it takes 3 business days to receive the money. Okay, that makes sense. So this is very straightforward. Now, slide number 10, you can open up a margin account. And a margin account is a brokerage account in which, subject to certain limitations, some of which are the brokerage companies, the brokerage firms, limitations, and some of which are limits by the Federal Reserve Bank and other governmental agencies, you can buy and sell securities on credit. If you open a margin account, the brokerage firm is going to do a credit check to determine your credit worthiness, since you will be borrowing money from them. In other words, they're going to be checking your credit rating and seeing, you know, does this person good for the money? The interest rate you pay on money borrowed from your brokerage firm is called the margin rate. It's actually a pretty good interest rate. It's a lot better than credit cards. It is often the prime rate plus 1 or 2 percentage points or 2 or 3 points above the current money market rate, depending on how much you borrow. So it's not a bad place to borrow money. Okay? I mean, you know, a house is usually better, but still, you know, mortgages are some of the cheapest ways. But this is usually not a bad interest rate that they charge you. Buying on margin. Slide number 11. A margin account allows you to perform margin trading. Buying on margin. Leveraged account. There's that word again. Leveraging your account is the use of borrowed funds to purchase securities. Now, as we're going to see with real estate, and when you leverage your investments, you magnify your returns by reducing the amount of equity that you as an investor must come up with. But you also potentially magnify your losses. It's a two-edged sword. And the margin, and I know it's hard to remember, and I want you to remember this, folks, is the portion of the value of an investment that is not borrowed. I always thought it should be the other way around. The margin should be the part that you do borrow, but that's not the way it's set up, so learn that. It's the amount of equity stated as a percentage of the investment. So if you are 75% margin, that means you've come up with 75% of the cash in your account and the worth of your account, 75%, and the other 25% has been provided to you by the brokerage firm. Now remember, you're paying interest on this, folks. They don't do it for nothing. They're not doing this for free. Slide number 12. Why buy on margin? Well, buying on margin allows the investor to use financial leverage, the use of debt financing to magnify your returns. Buying on margin also allows an investor to tap into the equity into their account without actually selling their investments and generating commissions and taxable transactions. So think about it, folks. When you own a home, after you get certain amount of equity in your home, a reputable lender, credit union, a bank, will allow you to borrow from the equity in your home, the worth of your home. Well, that's basically what you're doing when you buy on margin. You're borrowing on the equity that you have in the account. You know, it's like buying a house, right? You don't come up with the full 100%. But, you know, when you buy a house, well, nowadays they want 20%, but you put up 10, 20, maybe more. But stocks are different. They require at least 50% down. You say, well, why? Because stocks are far more volatile. Right? Normally, in the last few years, real estate's been, so are stocks. So think about it. When you buy a house, you don't come up with a whole amount. And the same thing is true when you buy on margin with stocks. The slide number 13, the margin requirement, also called the initial margin. This is the minimum amount of equity that must be a margin investor's own funds. And this is set by all people by the Federal Reserve Bank. Currently, and it's been this way for decades, the margin requirement is 50%. You must come up with at least 50% of your own funds. Well, by doing so, it allows you to purchase the same amount of stock with less money. Right? Instead of coming up with $100, you only have to come up with $50. Instead of coming up with $20, you only have to come up with $10. Yeah. The margin loan is the amount that you have borrowed. Remember, the margin is how much we've come to the table with. And the margin loan, or also called the debit balance, is the amount of your account that has been borrowed, that has been lent to you by the brokerage firm. Slide 14. No, you might want to write these numbers down as we go through these. Buying on margin example. You put up $10 and borrow $10 from your broker. Okay, well, let's see. If your initial margin is 50%, then your margin is 50%, $10, and your loan is $10. Now, you buy one share of common stock for $20. See, if you don't buy a margin, you have to come up with $20. But if you do buy a margin, a 50% margin, then you only have to come up with $10, but you control $20 worth of stock. The market price now rises to 30. Wow! You see, you've made $10 on a $10 investment. Whereas if you had come up with the whole $20, you would have made $10 on a $20 investment. The $10 is half of what you had to come up with when you simply purchased the stock outright with your own money. Instead of a 50% return on your investment, you received a 100% return on your investment. Not bad. Yep. Slide 15. You know where I'm going with this, right? You put up $10 and you borrow $10 from your broker. You purchase one share of common stock for 20, same as before, but this time the market price drops to 10. Oops. Only half of the money was yours. You borrowed the rest. You've lost your entire investment. Buying on margin magnifies your gains and magnifies your losses. Margin buying was one of the major contributing factors to the great crash of 1929. At the time, the margin requirement was only 10%. You see, people started to think that stocks were like real estate. You put up 10% to buy a house, right? You only need 10% to buy a stock. Ooh, what a bad deal that is. Real estate very rarely is as volatile, except from 2007 and 2008. Real estate is very rarely as volatile as stocks, so that was a bad choice. For this reason, the above scenario, that where you lost everything, is prohibited today. And our intrepid investor would long ago have had a margin call. They would not have allowed him or her to lose everything. But this is what happened to the real estate investors, right? They put up 20%, and then the price went down 50%, and they're wiped out. And now the bank or the credit union, the credit unions didn't do this, thankfully, but the bank is now on the hook for the rest of the money because, yeah, what are they going to do? Oh, yikes, that's why we bailed them all out. That's another topic. Slide 16, let's continue. Because margin trading is inherently more risky, margin accounts are more highly scrutinized by brokerage firms. A restricted account is a margin account whose equity is less than the initial margin requirement. Once you've gone below the 50%, that's what it's been for decades. It might change depending on the Federal Reserve Bank, but it's been 50% for many years. Once you've gone below that, the investor may not make further margin purchases and must bring the margin back to the initial margin requirement when the securities are sold. So you see, if your account goes below that initial margin, you're what we call restricted. And so you can't do any more margin purchases. The information technology of the past 20, 30 years has made the brokerage firm's job of scrutinizing margin clients much easier. Now, you know, it's all computerized. The computer spits out the list of customers that are restricted. But before, you had to do all these calculations, and that was the back office with, you know, the people in the back with their calculators and slide rules and the like. But now the computer does it immediately. Slide number 17. The maintenance margin is the absolute minimum. Remember the initial margin was 50%, but the maintenance margin is the absolute minimum of amount of margin of equity that an investor must maintain in the margin account at all times. This is typically 25, 35%, could be 40%, but the Federal Reserve Bank says it cannot be less than 25%. Your brokerage firm is allowed to set it higher depending on what they, you know, their criteria are. Maybe they set it higher for you because they don't think you're worthy or just they're just worried about you. And the dreaded margin call. The margin call is the notification of the need to bring the equity of an account whose margin is below the maintenance level up to the initial margin level, or to have enough margin holdings sold to reach this standard. In other words, what's happened? The person made a mistake. Remember the guy, he bought the stock for 20, he came up with $10, he borrowed $10, and it went down $10. You see, that's not allowed to happen. Long before it went down to 10 bucks, he would have gotten a margin call and said, hey, you've got a problem here. You've either got to come up with more cash, or you've got to sell these stocks right away, because you're in trouble, and we don't want to let you lose everything, because then if you lose everything and the stock keeps going down, now we're losing money. Yeah. If the investor does not meet the margin call in sufficient time, this is typically 3 business days, 72 hours, the brokerage firm is authorized, you sign the agreement, to sell enough of the securities to meet the margin call. Never meet a margin call. That's a big saying in the industry. In other words, if you've lost, take your lumps now. Don't bring more cash to the table because you're chasing good money after bad. Now, you can do that if you want. It's up to you. But the idea is, you know, it's time to take your lumps. During the tech meltdown of 2001, 2002, some of the deep discount brokers, TD Waterhouse, which was now is TD Ameritrade, and there were a few others, but they were not giving their clients 72 hours. They weren't giving them any time. The margin call email would go out in the evening, and when the market opened, they'd sell the stocks. They didn't even give the client time to do it themselves. They did it. Because they were so worried, because these prices were falling on the tech. It was mostly tech companies that were falling like a stone. And so, yeah, they are allowed to wait 72 hours, but they don't have to wait 72 hours. You signed an agreement that said it's okay for you to sell my securities to bring the margin back up to the initial level. Slide 18. All right, so we've been talking about things going badly. Let's say things go well. Let's say the stocks go up. Of course, if your investments do very well, then you can use the excess margin you create in your margin account to purchase additional stock without having to come up with more money. You see, you've built up excess capital, excess margin, more equity than is required in a margin account. The technique is called pyramiding. Doesn't that sound scary? It's a technique of using excess margin from paper profits in margin accounts to partly or fully finance the acquisition of additional securities. Expand your empire. Yeah, I don't know, folks. What do you think of this strategy, huh? I don't margin my accounts. but it kind of scares me. In other words, you're saying, okay, we had some paper profits. Let's put on some more debt. More debt. Slide number 19. And you're paying interest on this, folks. Paying interest on the margin loan also adds yet another drag on your investment returns. Your margin investments must meet or exceed the margin interest rate in order for you to just break even. Yeah, because remember, the brokerage firms are not doing this for their health. They are charging you interest. Commissions and interest. Now you know why your broker is always so happy to take your calls. Yeah. I am a broker, so I'm not trying to be that down on brokers, but just be careful, right? They're in this to make money. Slide 20. So, let's ask the question. Why would I buy on margin? And my easy answer is, you shouldn't. That's my answer. The risks are not worth the potential reward, in my humble opinion. But that's me. You know, that's not you. You decide. However, you know, there is a valid logical reason for having a margin account. A margin account allows you to temporarily borrow against your investments without having to sell them. So say you've been building up a high quality large company stocks that have been around forever, should be around forever, and you've been doing this for several years, and now you have a pretty good amount there, and you need some cash. Well, if you sell your investments, you're going to trigger commissions, and you're going to trigger capital gains taxes. If you borrow from them, then you don't incur the commission costs, you don't incur the capital gains taxes, but, yes, you do pay interest. So, do you think you'd want to margin securities? Either to try to juice, to try to magnify your returns, or to use your equity, to use your stocks as a collateral, so to speak, to borrow money when you needed it. It's up to you. Slide 21. Now, here's a couple of examples. Let's say a stock is selling for $50. You put up 30 and borrow 20. Okay, so let's see. That's 60%, right? You borrowed $20, you put up $30. So that's 60% margin, 40% margin loan. The stock price rises to $80. Now you have $80 minus the $20 you borrowed divided by 80, or 75% margin. So you could go out now and buy more securities based on the fact that you have a lot more margin, a lot more excess margin available. But what if the stock price falls to 25? 25 minus 20 divided by the $25, the amount of the account is 20%. You're at 20% margin. So you got a margin call. See, the amount of margin is equal to the value of the security minus the margin loan divided by the value of the security. And again, the computer, you don't have to do the calculation, the computer spits it out. And there's a worksheet in chapter 2 that we do in class together. We will not have any of these questions on the exams, folks, right? And you don't have to do any calculations for margining or options or shorting in the next presentation, so don't freak out. But they are on the Series 7, and you have to understand them. Slide number 22, the account balance sheet. Now, I don't know if these things are still on the Series 7. They were when I took it in 1998, that is. The account balance sheet was traditionally used with margin accounts, and it was how the brokerage firm would keep track of your account. It's all computerized now. Those of you with accounting experience will recognize this as assets equals liabilities plus equity, equity equals assets minus liabilities, same idea. The balance sheet also makes it easier to calculate the margin, because instead of doing the calculation we did on the previous slide, you just take the account equity and divide it by the total assets. But again, you don't have to worry about this. We do it in class, in the face-to-face. There's a commentary, an answer key. So go ahead and do these, but they're not going to be on the exam. Slide 23. Here's the example from page 43. You purchase 800 shares at $50. Well, that means you'd normally have to come up with $40,000, right? Well, not if you could put up 20%, I mean 20,000, 50%, and borrow the rest, 20,000. So your margin is 20,000 divided by 40,000 or 50%. So the amount of the shares are worth $40,000. 800 shares at $50 a share. That's the assets. On the liabilities and account equity, our loan is for 20 and our account equity is for 20,000. Does this make sense? You understand? If you've taken accounting, this is very, very simple for you. If you haven't, you're probably going, huh? What? What's he talking about? Well, this is a balance sheet. You put the assets on the one side and the liabilities and equity on the other side, and they must balance. And you see total 40,000, total 40,000. Don't worry. You don't have to construct these things. We're not going to do any counting in here, or at least this part. So relax. But this is how they used to do it, but now it's all just perps out on the computer. So slide number 24. Uh-oh! Your company was caught artificially inflating the earnings. Yikes! So the stock price fell to $35. So on the left-hand side, our shares are now worth $28,000. So 800 times 35, calculate it, make sure you get it right. So what's going to happen is this side has to change. The right side, the left side changed because our assets fell. But now on the right side, has to change to meet, to make sure that everything's in balance. Well, the loan doesn't change. You borrowed $20,000 from the brokerage firm. You still owe them $20,000. But now your equity is worth $8,000. Right, because you still owe them $20,000. And to compute the margin, you just take the account equity divided by the total equity, and you find that you're at 28.6%, and oh, by the way, your brokerage maintenance margin is 30%. That's right, you just got a margin call, so here's your choices. You can come up with more cash, or you can today sell the shares, $28,000 worth, the brokerage firm gets paid their $20,000, and you get your $8,000. Now, what I think would be a great exercise to scare you away from this, because remember, instruction about syphilis is not an instruction to get syphilis, is see what would happen if you had just bought the shares for $40,000 and the price fell to $28,000. How much would you have lost? And then see that what you lost here by margining the account, you lost a whole lot more, folks, as a percentage, a whole lot more. So my advice, and you do what you're going to do, folks, because you're grown-ups, you're over 18 now. It used to be 21, but now it's 18. But my advice is don't margin. Okay, you've got a lot of money in your brokerage account over the years. You've built it up. You want to borrow some money to do something, and then you're going to okay. But the risks are just too great. And if this doesn't scare you, then maybe the next one will, because when we come back, we're going to take a look at shorting. And shorting is, you can lose money even faster and much easier than buying on margin. Okay, so I'll see you next time when we take a look at something that's even more dangerous than margining.